Good morning, all. And welcome to Langdon Baptist Home Church on this nice cold day. Oh, bright. It should have been bright because the first hymn is going to be All Things Bright and Beautiful in a minute. We're not doing it quite yet. So it should have been bright and beautiful, but the world is still beautiful, even if it isn't bright. So just welcome everyone, and we'll just open the meeting with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you that even though the sun isn't shining and it isn't bright, Lord, that the world's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place because you created it a wonderful place. And we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to maintain it as a wonderful place. And we thank you for this, and thank you for creating us and giving us these wonderful things to enjoy. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in your holy name, Lord. Amen. And when you're going to sing that, All Things Bright and Beautiful. I think I might have given that away a bit. Evening at 8 o'clock on Zoom, and this Friday evening at 7:30 there's a discussion group. That is this Friday, isn't it? Yeah. Everybody's welcome to that, and I can't remember what the subject was, even though I've been told.
Heat wave or cold snap?
What would you prefer? Don't answer that today.
It's a lead-in. So if you want to lead-in, just come
she's asking for volunteers to lead, so all those who volunteer, step forward. Okay. Right, I'm going to read to you now a psalm. It's the last psalm of the psalms, and it's about praising God, and something we should always do. And it's God, praise God in His sanctuary. Sorry, it's Psalm 150, I don't know if I said which one. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpets. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, surprisingly enough, after that song, guess what we're going to sing, everybody?
Praise the Lord.
Well done. If you're feeling really low, it's to praise God, because all you want to do is curl up in a little ball and go to sleep. Or eat piles and piles of chocolate and go to sleep. Sleep part's important. But we can praise Him in many different ways. If you're feeling low, we just say, Lord, help me to praise You. That's a start. And that's enough, that God knows that you want to praise Him. And what ways we can praise him? Well, we can praise him in singing, dancing, as David did before the Lord, with clapping of our hands or rising of our arms. And as I said before, just sitting quietly on our own in his presence. Even simple things like that, acknowledging God, is a form of praising him. And he is a great and mighty God, and he should be praised. We should praise him for his wonderful gifts of this world and for all that he has done for us and all that he has given us. But most importantly, we would praise him for being a great and a wonderful God who gave up his only son, Jesus, so that our sins can be forgiven and that we can have eternal life. And there is no better gift than that. Now we're going to sing another chorus, just because Michael... Oh, no, we're not. I've done that wrong. I've done the talk first and that. Never mind, it's a prayer box now. I like to get things mixed up. It's just my brain. It makes me feel comfortable. Right. Has anybody got... I know I'm silly. Good job God lost me, isn't it, for what I am. Is there anything or anybody that you'd like prayer for? Is there another sheet, okay?
No.
That's the only one. Okay, then we pray for the world, Lord. We pray for this so much trouble and strife that is in the world, for the wars and conflicts, for the earthquakes, fires, disasters, volcanic eruptions, Lord. There's so many different things going on and so many people being hurt and killed. And it's hard to just put a prayer across all of them, Lord, but we do now. That you will intervene in these situations, bring peace to the wars, bring comfort to those who are lost, homes are people, and help people to re-establish their lives again, Lord, after disasters. We pray for our government as we make decisions about what's happening in this country at the moment, for the fuel crisis, the lack of transport drivers, and for all the other problems that they have to deal with, Lord. We pray that they will open their hearts to listening to you and to do what you want them to do, Lord, in the way you want them to go. We just praise you, Lord, that you're in control of all these things and all these people. And we also pray for London City Mission and many other missions that are dealing with homelessness or just visiting people, Lord. We just pray that you'll give them resources to be able to deal with them. And give them the strength to carry on with their missions and the love to be dealing with these people. Lord, because again, they're all your children. And you love every one of us. And you're sad when some of us just don't want to know you. So, Lord, we just pray for a massive infilling of hearts and knowledge that you are there, you are with us. And, Lord, we ask all these in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you. And now perhaps we could say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing two hymns now. Well, Michael's going to play two hymns. The words will be up there if you want to sing them. But it's going to be When the Harvest is Brought Forward. Now, the harvest goods will be going to Salvation Army. There's a monetary box there if you prefer to just give money. You're sitting on the side there. That will be decided at a later date because we're not unsure as to where the money's going. But definitely goods will be going to Salvation Army. So if you'd like to bring forward, if you can't, there's no children in here to bring them forward, so I will come and collect them. Yes, they are. If you'd like to come and help the people with the collection, girls, you're so squat down there, I couldn't see you.
There's a bag there as well, Matthew.
Is that better? That's better. That's bigger. Your piece too. scripture. All scripture is God breathed. So we will listen to the words as recorded by St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians, commencing in chapter 5 at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, and then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of God.
Thank you for that, Margaret. In a few moments after this next hymn, Rini is going to come up and share the word with us. And the next hymn is Come You Thankful People Come, a nice harvest one again.
Speaking. No.
Oh, that's what we just sang, that one.
Right, sorry, it's gone wrong then. Never mind.
Okay.
It didn't change over when I put it on, so not to worry, it's my fault.
Good. Oh, it's nice to hear the harvest festival hymns, the traditional ones. We'll be having another one later. What sort of a harvest did you have this year? Is your apple tree groaning with fruit? You have a glut of tomatoes? Or do they come to blight? Now, my tomatoes have done well, but in spite of trying two sowings of courgettes, I've ended up with, guess how many fruit?
One.
It's hardly a matter of life and death, is it? If things in the garden don't go as well as we hoped, well, it's irritating, but for people growing on a professional scale, it's much more serious. And for one family we hear of in the Bible, it was literally a matter of life and death. Now, this was a large and a prosperous family. It expected to be able to withstand the occasional disastrous harvest. This family usually had a surplus stored away and no shortage of cash to buy more if they needed to. They got plenty of family members, plenty of servants to work hard and bring all the crops in. They had a resourceful, if rather anxious, head of family. And when the harvest was poor for a year or two, they weren't the first to suffer. They could hold out for better times. But the bad times went on, year after year, and even they began to worry. Yes, they still had money, but there was no grain for them to buy. Everywhere there seemed to be the same problem, and famine set in. The younger members of the family began to get seriously worried. They had children to feed, and probably the first time in their lives, they'd got nothing to give them. They still had money, but there was no grain. So, very anxiously, they got together more than once and they talked it over, but none of them could think of a solution. And then one day, their father, the head of the extended family, heard by some means of a place where there was grain to be had, and he told them to set out immediately to go and buy some. It was a long journey, and a dispiriting one. Everywhere they went, nothing was growing. The whole countryside seemed blasted. And people they saw seemed to be travellers like themselves, heading in the direction where they just might possibly be some home. And then when they got there, they were unfortunate enough to come up against the man in charge, and he was suspicious of the motives. Having come to spy out the country's weak spots whilst pretending to be buying grain. He asked a good many questions, jailed them for a few days, set a lot of conditions, and eventually insisted on keeping one of them in prison as a guarantee for them keeping those conditions. But finally, he let the rest of them buy what they needed and set off for home. Now, it was bad enough having to leave one of the brothers behind. Things were about to get much worse. One of them opened a sack of grain and discovered the bag of silver that he thought had been used as payment. What had happened? More to the point, how was it going to be regarded? Were they going to be considered thieves as well as spies? Should they go back and risk being arrested? Should they press on home with the badly needed grain? They decided to go home, dreading having to explain to their father what had happened. They hadn't yet realised that even more explanations of things that happened in the past would resurface. However, even while they were being confronted by the governor, they began to think that there was more involved than grain harvests. They started to realise that they were also reaping the harvest of their actions some 20 years earlier, when they got rid of their detested young brother. They remembered how he pleaded for his life, and how his father had been misled into thinking he was dead. Probably was dead, so that being solemn to slavery. And now their actions have come back to haunt them, and they felt that they were being punished for what they'd done. It was a bitter harvest. And as far as they could see, it would only get worse. They'd left one brother behind and could only save him by bringing the youngest brother to the governor to prove the truth of the story they'd told him. But what chance was it that their father had let him go? I see by your faces that at various stages you recognise the story of Joseph and his brothers, and you know that it actually ended happily with a family reconciliation. But let's concentrate for a minute on the idea of a harvest being the result of actions taking place beforehand, sometimes for bad and sometimes for good. On the one hand, we can quote Numbers 32:23, which says, "Be sure that your sin will find you out." Or we can turn to Ecclesiastes 11, which advises us to cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. And as I might expect from an agricultural community, there are lots of references to harvest in the Bible. You know, the Old Testament instructions on leaving a proportion for the poor and how to celebrate the harvest. And then through to the New Testament, where Jesus tells parables about crops and harvests, like the parable of the sower, for instance. Now, we often take it that these parables are referring to evangelism, spreading the good news, and then the response to it, which is the harvest. We've been looking at mission in the Wednesday Bible studies, and we may very well be hearing more about it in the future. So I'll not look at that aspect. Today. Let's take it to a more personal level. Now, in the Bible, we're often exhorted to bear good fruit, to produce a spiritual harvest, and we might think about this in terms of the seed being sown when somebody introduced us to the gospel. Then we go on to growth, on watering the seed, and then finally reaping the harvest. It's a whole life story. However, I've got that far in preparing this message, and then I realise it's another way of looking at the idea of sowing and growth and harvest. It's not just a whole life thing. Rather, does that picture might be? Just as our gardens and fields are in a constant movement through the whole cycle, producing a harvest at regular intervals, so our Christian lives should mirror that experience. And it doesn't start with the sowing of the seed, but with the preparation of the soil. If the seed represents the things that God wants to grow in our lives, then he begins with preparing us to do that. What harvest? What fruit does he want? Well, we read about that earlier in Galatians chapter 6. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's not the sort of crop that you can expect from exhausted and impoverished spiritual soil. Now, any time your garden knows about the importance of feeding and fertilising the ground, building it up So it can recover from one harvest and go on to produce another. And that, I feel, is very similar to what God does for us. He feeds us with His Word, with experiencing His presence, with the support and the encouragement of our fellow Christians. He builds us up, and He does this after we've become weary and worn out. And He treats us each differently, because we're not all the same. Maybe more than four sorrows are the same. Sometimes He even allows us to lie fallow for time if we become exhausted. Then He uses what farmers refer to as a green manure. It's a quick growing crop which is not harvested and taken away, but it's cut down and dug back into the soil to replenish the ingredients which have been missing. I think these are the life of times when He doesn't expect us to be constantly giving out, but to be taken in from Him Himself and also from our fellow Christians, so that we're refreshed and then built up again after a draining period. And after all that, we get to the sown, the start of what the Lord wants us to produce for harvest. Yet the fruit of the Spirit, which we read about in Galatians, is something that all Christians should show. And we can't deny that we're all of us better at some aspects than others. However, there are also things that are more suited to us than to somebody else. We all have different abilities. Though we may be not even discovered them all yet. Because we're all different, I think that Galatians emphasise that point again. We're all different. Any gardener knows that different plants flourish in different conditions. You can't hope to successfully grow the same things in light sand or soil by the seaside as heavy Midland and London clay. The daffodil. Dandelions seem to flourish everywhere. And water is important too. Some plants seem to thrive on very little, whilst others are thirsty, especially as they start to produce seed. It's an interesting passage in Isaiah 58, where the Lord speaks of the people who do His will in their everyday lives being like a well-watered garden. This watering comes from the Lord Himself and enables them to thrive in difficult circumstances, when the land's scorched by the sun. And then finally, the harvest. The time when we're able to produce what God wants from us. But even then we're a good harvest in poor ones. Some crops do well one year. Same year others are poor. And it's sometimes difficult to know why. Now, I've got what is known as a family apple tree. It's three different types of apple, all grafted onto one stem, so they can pollinate each other, and you only need one tree. So all the apples are grown in the same conditions, the same soil conditions, they share the same weather conditions, same nutrients, and yet every year it seems one or two of the varieties do well, and the other one produces very little. But next year they swap around. Why? Yeah, it's the advantage of thinking of our spiritual harvest in terms of regular cycles instead of just one final event. In one sense, we're continually producing harvests, and yet, just like our physical harvests, the yield varies. Now, sometimes we feel really blessed by the Lord. We can see results, we feel that we're definitely in His will. And then after that, there's a break, a replenishment, a reseeding, a regrowth. And we find the next harvest is nowhere near as good. What's gone wrong? Well, sometimes it's true, we know where we've slipped up and we need to put things right. like, you know, dealing with the little second senses, like the insects eating away at the apples. But sometimes we just simply can't understand it. But can we trust the Lord to take along with you? To know that our harvests vary, sometimes because of circumstances that you can't control. And he knows what we need in order to do better next time. He knows how to make us fruitful and more fruitful again. He knows how to feed the soil of our hearts in which a seed grows. How to prune, how to train, how to deal with the pests that try to destroy. Do you remember the verses in Joel where the Lord says that his people, when they turn to him in repentance and in trust and in hope, be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. He will repay you with the years of locusts to eat you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you'll praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. We've come together today to thank the Lord for the physical harvest that we can see results of around us. We recognise our dependence on it and on the one who caused it to grow. But let's also think about the harvests which he's producing time after time in his people, in us, and ask him to help us to become more fruitful for him. I'm going to close with another of the traditional harvest hymns that goes through this process. It's "We Plough the Fields and Scatter." I'll get more fish in the night, don't I?
us say to each other, now may the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.